Elsewhere Publishing House presents Unlived, On Dreams, Delay, and the Lives We Carry by Gigi Muse. Dedication to my father, whose crooked tooth I inherited, and whose unlived dreams I almost did too. Introduction, In Front of the Mirror. My father's lower canine tooth was slightly crooked, angled forward just a little. It was barely noticeable to anyone else, but I knew it well. Time and again, right in the middle of a meal, he would go quiet. He'd bring his hand to his mouth and say, "Ouch." I bit my lip again. The inside of his lip had caught on that small, crooked edge. He'd have to stop eating. It happened often enough that it became a fixture of our family life. Something that was always there. Something that never got fixed. As a child who adored his father, I always felt a pang watching it. I was about 15 or 16 when it happened to me for the first time. I was eating and suddenly, ouch. I ran my tongue over my lower teeth and understood immediately. My canine had shifted into the same position as my father's. The same angle, the same small forward tilt. Genetics. I told myself, I don't want to spend my whole life with this pain. I'll go get braces and fix it. That decision stayed in my mind. And stayed. And stayed. Every time the inside of my lip got cut, every time I caught myself mid-bite and winced, the same sentence came back. I should get braces. I need to fix this tooth. I was around 27 years old when it happened. I was standing at the bathroom mirror, loading my toothbrush with toothpaste, glancing at my teeth. My eye caught the crooked canine. And just like always, the thought passed through my mind. I really need to do something about this. I don't know exactly what happened next. Something shifted. It was as if something inside my head quietly gave way. A calm voice said, "Wait, how long have you been telling yourself this? 10 years? More?" I froze. Not from fear, from a kind of quiet grief, from the feeling you get when you understand something you can no longer ununderstand. I had been telling myself that sentence for more than 10 years, and in all that time, I hadn't booked a single appointment. I hadn't done a single minute of research. I hadn't taken one real step. I had only ever said it, and slowly I understood. Saying it had taken the place of doing it. Every time I told myself I'll fix it one day, I felt a small wave of relief, as if the problem were already handled, as if I had already acted. And so I never needed to actually act. Whether I finished brushing my teeth that morning, I can't remember. But I know my mind was somewhere else entirely. One question had started turning inside my head. If I have been going to fix this tooth for 10 years and never did, what else have I been going to do for just as long? The answer didn't come that day, not that week either. The question was like a small stone dropped into still water. The ripples moved slowly, quietly, reaching every corner of my life in the days and weeks that followed. Every time I noticed something, heard something, remembered something, I'd catch myself asking, "Is this another tooth?" Most of the time, the answer was yes. I started paying attention to the people around me, to the dreams that circulate for years without ever becoming real. I started reading about procrastination, self-deception, identity, the strange human need to keep imaginary versions of ourselves alive. The more I read, the more I saw that this wasn't just my problem. We humans sometimes live for years with the image of doing something, without ever actually doing it. This book is the result of that question, the result of years of thinking about why some things never move from our minds into our lives. I hope, by the end, we'll find some answers. Chapter 1. Who are we living with? That morning at the mirror, after the moment that made my skin go cold, I'm not sure I even finished brushing my teeth. Maybe I did. I don't remember. What I remember is that my mind was already somewhere else. A simple question had started turning inside my head. If I've been going to fix this tooth for 10 years and never did, what else have I been going to do for just as long? The answer didn't come that day. Not that week either. The question was like a small stone dropped into still water. The ripples moved slowly, quietly, reaching every corner of my life in the days and weeks that followed. Every time I noticed something, heard something, remembered something, I'd catch myself asking, "Is this another tooth?" Most of the time, the answer was yes. One day, a few weeks after that morning at the mirror, I sat down and wrote. Not a formal plan, not a goal list with stars and colored markers, just a piece of paper and everything I'd been telling myself for years that I was going to do. Learn to paint, make decorative pieces, see a dermatologist, start exercising, take a trip south, somewhere I'd been wanting to see for years. Call an old friend whose voice I hadn't heard in too long. When I looked at the list, something inside me sank. Some of these things had been waiting for 3 years, some for five, some, like the tooth, for more than 10. But what unsettled me most wasn't the time. It was this. All those years, I had believed I was engaged with these things, that I was thinking about them, that I had a plan. There was no plan. There was only the repetition of a sentence. Each time the subject arose, I said the sentence, felt a small comfort, and moved on. That cycle, quiet, unremarkable, had been repeating for years. And I had never once noticed it. Let's give this something a name. That version of ourselves that lives only in our minds, thinner, braver, freer, healthier, more successful, the person will be one day. Let's call it the imagined self. The imagined self is not a vague feeling. It is a fully realized person. It paints. It exercises. It ends that relationship. It writes that book. It starts that business. It lives the life that is always just around the corner. The trouble is, we live with the imagined self far more than we realize. Not with ourselves. With that other version, the one who is always almost here. And this gap between the mental version and the actual person can grow so wide, so slowly, that we stop feeling it. It becomes normal. The imagined self becomes so familiar that it no longer seems imaginary. There is a particular pleasure in being someone who has not yet begun. This is not an obvious observation, but I think it is a true one. The person who has always wanted to paint but hasn't yet picked up a brush is, in a very specific sense, still a painter. An untested one. A painter in potential. And potential has a quality that achievement can never quite recover. It is unblemished by failure, unshaped by the compromises that reality always demands. The imagined self lives in this space of pure potential. It has not yet encountered its limitations. It has not yet produced the mediocre first draft, the abandoned canvas, the business plan that didn't survive contact with actual customers. It exists in a kind of permanent readiness, always on the verge of becoming remarkable. This is what I have come to think of as the addiction to potential. It is subtler and more respectable looking than most addictions, but it functions in a similar way. It offers a reliable source of comfort that, over time, becomes more important than the thing it was supposed to lead toward. The comfort of potential is real. The cost of it is also real. And the cost is this: a life spent in the anteroom of your own existence, waiting for a moment that keeps not arriving. Alongside the addiction to potential lives, its close cousin, the safety of incompletion. As long as something remains unfinished, unbegun really, it cannot be judged, cannot be measured against the original vision, cannot disappoint. I have a friend who has been writing a novel for 11 years. He speaks about it with genuine passion. The characters are vivid to him. He can describe scenes in detail, explain the thematic architecture, articulate what he wants the book to do to a reader, By all internal measures, the novel exists. He has written approximately 40 pages.